everyone, and welcome to the 12th edition of the Home Videodrome Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Deusing, and with me is the lovely and talented Jim Dirks.
The dirty dozen, as it were. It's funny, I overheard a woman who was talking that I work with today, was like, yeah, I saw that fucking Bridesmaids. She was like, I don't know who these people are that said it was funny.
You know, okay, I watched Bridesmaids actually this week. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay, here's the thing. Bridesmaids, like, I watched it and Horrible Bosses back to back. On Thanksgiving, ate with the family, and then we had a movie marathon afterwards. We watched Duck Soup, Horrible Bosses, and Bridesmaids.
I enjoyed Horrible Bosses.
Oh, no, okay. Yeah. Like, I was kind of, I had differing reactions to Horrible Bosses and Bridesmaids. I would say I enjoyed both. But
right.
Horrible Bosses, to me, like, a lot of scenes in it were really funny. There were a lot of really funny sequences in it. I laughed a lot during it. In fact, I laughed more during Horrible Bosses than I did during Bridesmaids.
Okay.
But as a cohesive whole, I mean, Horrible Bosses didn't really do a lot for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it made me laugh. That's about it. Whereas Bridesmaids, I didn't really laugh a whole lot during it. There were a few bits that had me laughing out loud, but a lot of it really didn't.
Right.
But as a whole, I thought it really worked as a film. You know, like, I thought it really worked as a cohesive story that stuck together from A to Z, which is kind of rare for me for a Judd Apatow production.
Right.
I mean, maybe this is because it's directed by Paul Feig, but a lot of the Judd Apatow productions, to me, feel very improv-y. They feel very, you know, when you get them on DVD, you get the 30-minute extended cut, and
right.
It's all just bits added in, and it doesn't really gel. Like, to me, the biggest example of this, of a comedy that has funny sequences that doesn't gel at all, is The Other Guys. I mean, it's so sketchy and improv-y, but the story as a whole is kind of just random. But I liked both Horrible Bosses and Bridesmaids, but they were kind of opposite ends for me, you know?
Right, okay.
And, you know, Horrible Bosses ultimately made me laugh more. But, I mean, but I was kind of won over by Bridesmaids' charm, I guess. And it's Kristen Wiig, too. I mean, she is one of the very few female comedians that I think is actually genuinely amusing, but she's got a charm to her and a sweetness to her that I like. She's not mean-spirited at all.
Well, that's nice.
You know, I don't know if you saw Paul, but, like, her character in Paul could have been such a shitty, like, one-dimensional stereotype.
Right.
But she brings buckets and buckets of charm to it, to where she makes it so much more than it is on the page.
That's nice. See, I think the only issue that I really have with a movie like Bridesmaids is, from what I've seen of it, is like, wow, if you gave that exact same joke to a guy, they'd be screaming about how sexist and awful and,
like,
creepy it is. So it's like,
You know, the positive line I hated about Bridesmaids that actually made me not want to see it for a while was the girls can be just as raunchy as guys, right?
Yeah, made my interest in it disappear as well.
I mean, because I felt it was Judd Apatow going, hey, you know, everybody says I'm a sexist. Well, here you go. This one's for the ladies in the house. I would say I really enjoyed Bridesmaids. I would say I loved it, but you could do way worse as far as rom-coms go.
Yeah. Okay.
And it does have, you know, it does have a bit of that Apatow whiff at times. But of course, the best movie of that evening was Duck Soup, hands down.
Oh, of course, yeah. I just, for some reason, any time that it's posed as, oh, see, the ladies came. Well, first off, when the fuck did raunchy become, like, a goal?
Right.
To me, raunchy is always like, you know, when you're in the gas station and they've got those weird off-brand porn magazine packs behind the counter.
Right.
That just seeing a peek of the cover behind the black plastic makes you go, oh my God, that looks like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
That is what raunchy means to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like those broads who pop up on what's that fucking show? I used to be fat, now I'm all that. Who was that fucking talk show broad?
Ricky Lake?
Yeah, yeah. It's like your family, Jenny Jones, I mean.
Mm.
Your family doesn't like that you dress sexy. That ain't fucking sexy. That's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's sort of
like
what
a hooker.
Yeah, that's what raunchy always means to me. You know, it's just like, oh, that's just, there's nothing redeeming about it.
Right. I mean, you know, that's what kind of, I think, rubs me the wrong way about Bridesmaids and its concept, is that it's trying to go for the Judd Apatow school of guy humor, but apply it to the ladies.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, like,
which, in essence, is the problem with Judd Apatow writing female parts is, well, just instead of making an annoying woman, instead of making an annoying character, an annoying male character that you give a female name to, you're just making kind of acceptable male characters that you're giving female names to.
And you see, that's the thing is, that's, I think, what works about Bridesmaids is that Kristen Wiig wrote it, and she was able to not necessarily... that was a trap she doesn't fall into, because this movie was, I mean, it was, but I don't think, like, when people say, oh, girls could be just as edgy and raunchy as the guys, I don't think, I mean, there's a lot of, like, you know, gross out type stuff in the movie and just like wacky comedy, but it's not as nightmarish as that concept sounds. But it bothers me that critics say that, like, it's a good thing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's something that annoys the shit out of me.
I did,
it always has.
I did really enjoy Bridesmaids. I mean, it's worth seeing. It's not it's not a comedy classic, but you could do way worse as far as rom coms go. And Horrible Bosses was fine. I laughed. Yeah. I laughed a lot. My favorite was one of my favorite bits was when they hire that hitman and it says no children or political figures. That's really important to me.
Right. Yeah. That's really there was some wildly clever shit in that movie.
Well, and you know, and I think the Jason Bateman factor too. Like, I think Jason Bateman can make even the shitty comedy watchable.
See, to me, the selling point on that for me was Charlie. I'm a I'm a huge Always Sunny fan, and he is one of the few comic actors that has something completely original without being fucking annoying going on, and I love that.
Yeah, no, he was very funny in it. I liked the whole he's a sex offender because he was peeing in a
don't bark. I mean, like, just the little lines that he throws onto things to me are just absolutely fucking riot. Don't bark. I love that shit. So yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Charlie. So.
I liked Jamie Foxx's little turn as Motherfucker Jones.
Oh
yeah,
Motherfucker Jones. That's not good. I went into my mama's bedroom when she was asleep. Oh, that's not
good.
That's
and
not.
She was lying there naked. Oh no.
Oh no. Motherfucker, no.
And I reached out with my hand. Oh God.
I took
money from a purse. Oh.
I just love the flat. No. Please, no. Yeah, it's good shit.
And I love it. Why did you go to prison? Y'all know that movie Snow Falling on Cedars? I took a camcorder into the theater.
It succeeds far more than it fails.
Yes. No, yeah. Indeed. Yeah. I enjoyed it quite a bit, but I mean, the only movie I saw in the theater since last we spoke was Hugo,
which I don't even know what to think of it.
Do you know what it's about?
No, I just know that it's Scorsese doing 3D, and everyone's like, "Oh, someone finally did 3D right."
Okay,
which is,
I think you'll really like it, Jim. You're a big fan of Voyage to the Moon, right?
Yeah, not big, but I'm a fan.
I've heard you talk favorably about it.
Yes.
You're familiar with Georges Méliès.
Oh, yes.
Then go see it.
Okay, cool.
And I will say this. I'm not, like, you know, I haven't been a big proponent of 3D in the past, as, of course, everybody on listening to the show knows. But Hugo, I thought Scorsese used it better than any other filmmaker has ever used 3D. Because Scorsese has this encyclopedic knowledge of film grammar.
Yeah.
And he takes this... he takes all these different techniques and ideas and applies them to 3D. And some of them, it kind of, I was a little taken aback by how effectively he used it. in right. some sequences. Like, you know, I'm not saying it was totally, like, necessary, but it's certainly, there were certain scenes that I definitely felt it added something. And that's the only other movie that has done that with 3D is one we're going to talk about a little later.
Okay.
But it was the best use of 3D in a narrative feature that I've ever seen.
That's cool.
But I think you will enjoy it. I don't want to say why I think you'll enjoy it, because it's a major plot spoiler, but I'll
check it out.
Yeah, I think you should see it.
Because, like, you know, with me, it's not that I'm like, oh, I'm like vocally opposed to 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And I definitely have been, but I also like it when a movie surprises me. And
right.
this definitely surprised me with its use of it. And, I mean, it has some faults. Like, Sacha Baron Cohen's not that funny in it. And okay. I feel like his character is supposed to be a silent clown type. He's
right.
a villain, but he has a lot of antics. And there's a few sight gags with uh-huh. him that are riotous. But overall, like, the stuff with him chasing orphans around, it doesn't have the physical spark that I think that Scorsese was going for. Because there are nods to Harold Lloyd in this movie.
Okay.
There are nods to, you know, Harold Lloyd, in fact, is in this movie by proxy. You know, so, like...
Right, all right.
So, this movie is a big love fest for silent cinema. Like,
okay.
I mean, and it's going to bomb at the box office. In fact, I think it came in like at 6 this weekend.
Nice.
I mean, it did not do well at all, and it doesn't surprise me one little bit, because it's kind of a movie lover's, film scholar, like, piece that's dressed in kids' movie clothes. Like...
Well, and the thing is, Scorsese's movies are never, like, huge box office hits.
No. I mean, he's kind of a guy who can just do whatever he wants because he's Martin Scorsese.
Right, yeah. But even then, he will get, you know, he doesn't get Final Cut on his shit. I mean, he's got a lot of control, but he didn't, you know... You'll still have fucking Weinstein come in and cut the shit out of Gangs of New York.
Oh, yeah. He gutted that film.
Yeah.
Gangs of New York, I wasn't a fan of. It was kind of a mess.
Yeah, well, and from what I understand, it's because of the amount mm-hmm. of shit that was cut off of it.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm not a fan of Leonardo DiCaprio's acting either. Or Cameron Diaz's acting.
Well, Cameron Diaz, that's big old quotes around acting, mm-hmm. so... Yeah. And she's such a fucking moron.
But, oh, my God, she's... ridiculously dense in interviews. But so do you see anything this week, or how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was all right. A great fucking football game.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. UT beat A&M in the last
two seconds. That's right. I heard that. And,
2 seconds, bitches.
The tears of A&M fans are very sweet.
Oh, they are the sweetest
thing. I wish I could bottle them and drink them, because it's the most delicious beverage on the planet.
No, well, the only thing better than that is the indignant anger, where that you'll hear shit like, oh yeah, you got that BS penalty. Oh yeah, the helmet to helmet contact 2 seconds after the play was whistled dead. Yes, that was a BS penalty. You're right. But you know, hey, that's just me.
No, yeah, I did hear about that, and I was in Texas at the time, so it was very pleasing.
Yeah, I've been watching. I'm doing a show Wednesday night because Clarkson's getting married this week.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So he's not available.
Clarkson is Jim's co-host. For those listening at home who aren't Film Thugs listeners,
for the Film Thugs, yes. And so I'm actually getting a independent filmmaker named Blaine Weaver that I met at AFF. Is going to be on, and we're going to discuss some shit.
Good deal.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
That will be
fun. So I've been catching up on his filmography more, watching things like, you know, The Weather Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Manic, and what's it called? Outside Sales. So it's cool.
Cool.
Yeah, good times.
Awesome,
All
dude.
All right. Well, let's look through this questionable pile.
Let's roll through it. First up, we've got a movie I will never see, and I'm sure you will never see. I will not allow my kids to see, because they won't know it exists. The Smurfs. And that one comes out December 2nd, so in case you're interested. But, you know, I've got really nothing beyond that.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same page here. It's like it was one of those things that the first preview I saw for it, once they started playing Tone Loc Wild Thing.
Oh god.
A song about fucking.
Which, that's a song I'd never want to hear in a movie ever again.
Yeah, I'm you know? Done with that fucker.
Oh, I'm done with Tone Loc in general, I think.
Nah, I'll still watch him in Ace Ventura, but that's just one of those things. It's like there's a handful of songs that have been so overused in trailers, mm-hmm. and that's one of them.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Done there. Yes, it looked completely uninspiring and terrible.
And putting the Smurfs in the real world is such a story idea. Like, I just...
And putting Katy Perry in a movie where you don't show her.
Indeed.
Well, that's stupid.
I mean, I was just like, the Smurfs, the cartoon has this cartoon world and everything. Why do we want to put them in our world? I mean,
yeah.
But anyway, there's that. Next up, another one coming out on Friday as opposed to Wednesday, or December 2nd. Friends with Benefits. Not to be confused with No Strings Attached.
That's, You mean first world problems?
Yes.
Oh, no, we're having all this sex, but now we want it to be more. What's a girl to do?
Oh, I like the way Mark Kermode put it. He said that When Harry Met Sally is a movie about can guys and girls truly be friends, or does the sex thing always get in the way?
Uh-huh.
And he said this one is about can guys and girls have sex, but does the... friends thing always get in the way.
Of course.
Which one's more interesting, Jim?
Neither.
What?
Absolutely neither one.
Oh, I like When Harry Met Sally.
Harry Met Sally, definitely. Okay. Most definitely, yeah.
But, so there's that. I could do without it. The next one is the other film I was referring to when I said a movie that I think used 3D with great effect, and it's Werner Herzog's documentary Cave of Forgotten Dreams.
I haven't seen it, but it's Herzog and it's a documentary, so it's probably worth watching.
Oh, definitely.
I haven't heard it yet, but are you familiar with that that book, the kids' book, Go the Fuck to Sleep?
What? No?
There's a kids' book called... Well, it's not really a kids' book, but, it's done as a children's book. And Samuel Jackson does a recording of the audiobook for it. And apparently, recently online, the only thing that sounds better than him... Sam Jackson doing it is apparently somewhere out there on the internet. You can find Werner Herzog reading it.
Yep. There's a lot of things like Werner Herzog.
Don't want any waters. That's bullshit. Stop lying. Go the fuck to sleep. Except Herzog is so low key.
Oh, he's very low key. Timothy Treadwell lived with the bears.
The best line is from what was the documentary about Fitzcarraldo?
Burden of Dreams.
Burden of Dreams. I don't want to live in a world without lions. Wow. All right.
Another good one is in Encounters at the Edge at the End of the World. He goes, "I did not want to make a documentary about fluffy penguins."
Nice.
And then eventually he goes and visits the fluffy penguins, much to his dismay. But he finds the, one penguin who's insane and deranged.
Of course.
Like, he's like, "These penguins go off to take care of the little ones, and these go off to get food. But this penguin stands alone." And he finds this penguin staring at the mountains. "It is obsessed with the mountains, and it heads towards the mountains into certain death. I asked the scientists who if I could bring him back. But he said no, because he would simply turn around and head back towards the mountains, where he will certainly die." I was just like, God. Wow, Herzog.
Actually, the best that I've ever seen with Herzog is there's this not great movie, mockumentary-style film called The Grand.
Oh, yeah.
Poker, and he plays a guy just known as the German in it, mm-hmm. and he travels with just like this menagerie of caged animals. He's like, "I find... that in order to keep my competitive edge, I have to kill something every day." And it's just, he's got such a flat sort of coldness to him that it's like, that motherfucker kills something every day, doesn't he? Holy
and you
shit.
You believe him when he says it.
Yeah.
Have you seen, oh my gosh, what was it? It just left me.
I just, whenever Herzog comes up, I just think of Clarkson's impression of him talking about James Cameron picture out in like his Eddie Bauer gear being pictured with some indigenous tribe. And just Clarkson rolls into his Herzog. They'll eat you alive, Jimmy.
I could see him saying that. Oh, yeah. I remember what it was. Have you seen the BBC footage of Mark Kermode interviewing Herzog and somebody shoots Herzog with an air rifle?
No.
Yeah, look up like Werner Herzog shot during interview or something.
Holy
on YouTube.
Shit,
and
that's awesome.
He's just standing out in LA talking with Mark Kermode, and then all of a sudden, like, Herzog just, like, flinches and like, gets hit with something and, like...
and Herzog probably acts like, of course I've been shot.
No, he goes, and Mark Kermode's like, do you want us to stop? You want us to stop it? And Herzog goes, no, it was not a significant bullet.
That fucking guy is amazing.
He is. But Kao awesome. Forgotten Dreams is very good. It explores the Chavez Cave, which has like the earliest known artwork by human beings.
Oh, cool.
From 30,000 years ago. And, you know, these caves, you know, very few people are allowed access into them.
Uh-huh.
Because it's such a precious area. And, you know, Herzog kind of explores this, the beginnings of human beings expressing themselves, you
know? That's kind of cool.
And but, you know, he was thinking, you know, Herzog said he would never make a movie in 3D, but when he saw the caves, he thought, ah, like, here's this is actually would be very helpful. And it is because there are contours on the that move with the artwork on the cave walls. Like, the artists use the cave walls the way they move to enhance their art, and you can't really see it.
So it's something that was done with an actual purpose, not
exactly.
Just some jerk off who didn't know how to tell a fucking story.
It wasn't used to jack up ticket prices. It was used as a tool. And I felt that it really added something, and I felt that it really it brought something that I think would otherwise have been missing. So, but
all
it's
right.
It's an interesting movie. I think it runs a little bit too long. It's only an hour and a half, but I think it goes a little, I think it overstays its welcome a little bit. But overall, though, it's a very good movie.
That's something that Clarkson and I have been talking about with a lot of documentaries, is there doesn't seem to be, documentaries that are the right length seem to be very much in short supply. Everything is too fucking long by a half an hour to an hour.
Yeah, I think this one could have lost like maybe 10 minutes.
Okay.
You know, it's not like, you know, it's only like an hour and a half, but still, you know, but it's definitely a movie worth checking out. I really liked it. And if you can, it's on Blu-ray 3D. If you get an opportunity to see it in 3D, do. This is one of the rare movies that gets my seal of approval.
With three-dimensional. Well, all right.
And it's an opportunity to see artwork that you otherwise would be unable to experience fully through photographs or anything.
Cool.
And Herzog's thoughts on stuff of that nature are always a delight.
Oh, he's a fucking lunatic, but it's great.
Yeah, he is. All right, so next up we've got Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
The preview for that looked amusing, but it was one where once I saw it was going straight to video, I was like, this thing probably isn't very good.
Everybody I know who's seen it has recommended it enthusiastically to me.
Oh, sweet, because I think it looks fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anybody say anything negative about it. It's just not a lot of people have seen it.
All right. But, for those who don't know, it's basically like it's a slasher type movie, but the guys that the supposed heroes think are slashers are not. They're just kind of bumbling country folk who are trying to help out this friend of theirs.
Yep.
And these people start essentially killing themselves in very gory ways trying to stop this. And so it just makes them appear like they are horrible murderers.
And for all you Firefly fans out there, one of said rednecks is played by Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, it's got Alan Tudyk, and for those of you who are like me and big fans of the show Reaper, which is fucking fantastic show, it also has Tyler Labine in it, who plays Sock in, what's it called? Fucking
Reaper?
Reaper, yeah, which if you haven't seen that show, you need to get on it because it's fucking fantastic.
I've never seen it, but I need to.
It's really good. Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. This is one I'm going to check out that I haven't seen that I really want to see.
All right.
Next, we have One Day with Anne Hathaway and Jim Sturgess. It's based on a popular novel. It's about a couple that... it's kind of like a When Harry Met Sally thing, I guess, where you have, like, one day out of their lives for each year, and it's kind of romantic, and their lives
really
separate and come back together. Yeah.
And all gimmicky as fuck, and yeah.
It didn't... It got a lot of lukewarm reviews. It didn't really get any... I didn't see anything venomous, but I didn't see anything ringing either. You know, it was just like, eh, it is what it is.
Okay.
You know, I haven't seen it. Probably never will.
Good for you.
Yeah. Next one I did see in the theater, and that's 30 Minutes or Less with...
I think that looks really good.
It's funny. And, you know, I know this is not a cool thing to admit, but I think Nick Swardson's really funny.
Nick Swardson in the right situation is goddamn hilarious.
Oh, man. And this is the funniest he's ever been, I think. Him and Danny McBride rolling around with their, like, Juggalo gear.
Nice.
And Danny McBride's ringtone on his cell phone is Raining Blood by Slayer.
Nice.
And Nick Swardson rocking out to Third Eye Blind's Jumper is
nice.
Kind of one of the funniest things I've seen in a movie this year.
my thing when it comes to what's his fucking name? Swardson is, to me, he is exactly like Jack Black. There is a perfect amount.
Yes.
Anything beyond that is goddamn insufferable.
Mm-hmm. And I also like that they cast Danny McBride as a full-on villain as opposed to an anti-hero.
Right.
Because I think he really... It's kind of wondering... I'm wondering why it's taken them this long to do that.
Yeah.
Because he's been playing Kenny Powers in fucking everything.
Yeah.
But Kenny Powers is an evil asshole.
Yes.
And so making him just a complete villain is what's taken them so long.
Exactly. I'm glad they finally did that. Oh, I'm with you on that entirely, sir.
But in its... most comedies today, I think, are way too long.
Yeah.
30 minutes or less is tight. It's I think under an hour and a half.
Cool.
It's by the director of Zombieland, which was also a very tight, tightly put together movie. And it's also got Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz Ansari. And it's an entertaining action comedy. I liked it.
I like that Eisenberg is kind of is no longer the poor man's Michael Cera. The Michael Cera who has been nominated for an Oscar.
He's I'm sorry, but Michael Cera is the poor man's Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, that's kind of,
Like, I remember people knocking Eisenberg for a while saying that, but I'm like, Michael Cera plays pretty much the same character in everything.
Right, uh-huh.
Eisenberg really plays very different characters.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of similar, maybe, but, you know, his character in Squid and the Whale is completely different from his character in The Social Network.
Uh-huh.
Is completely different from his character in Roger Dodger.
Right.
You know, and is completely different from his character in this. Yes, they kind of have maybe similar speaking patterns, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But 30 minutes or less, fun, tight movie.
It looks good, man. I'm down with it.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw Zombieland, I think it's better than Zombieland, but
cool.
But I think it's tight. I mean, Zombieland is a tight movie.
Right.
But there are stretches of that movie where I feel like maybe more could have been happening. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
This 30 minutes or less, I just think it never misses a beat. You know?
Oh, cool. Cool.
Okay, so next up we have a comedy that, you know, I saw the trailers for it and I was just like, no thanks.
I saw it and I was like, I will watch that on Instant.
Yeah, if it was on Instant, I'd watch it. It's Our Idiot Brother with Paul Rudd, Elizabeth Banks, and Zooey Deschanel.
Mm-hmm. She's in it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no opinion on Zooey, really, but this looked, you know, it looked charming enough. And again, it's one that I'm not averse to, but it's one that I'm not going to seek out.
Right. Have you noticed, though, how, like, comedies like this, my roommate and I were talking about this earlier, how comedies, like, their titles lately have been just a description of the most basic description of the movie. Bridesmaids. Yeah. Yeah. Horrible Bosses. Yeah. Our Idiot Brother. I was saying, I watched Bridesmaids, Horrible Bosses, and Duck Soup in one night. Which one of these does not belong?
Right. You know? Right. Yeah.
Duck Soup is not about duck soup. There is a pot with ducks in it at the beginning, but that's it.
Ah, well, there we go. They're literalists.
Credits. Yes. So, yeah, you know, I'll probably see this one if it's on Netflix Instant, but beyond that, yeah. Next up, we have... This movie I don't really know much about, but everybody I know who saw it recommended it. It's Another Earth. It looks like a kind of an indie sci-fi movie.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really know much about it beyond that. Have you heard anything about it?
This is the first I've heard of it.
Okay.
So, oh, actually, no. It's something that, it was advertised all over the fucking place, but I just never, like, oh, wow, a duplicate plant.
I don't know. I like smaller sci-fi movies, so I'm gonna check it out.
It was just one that never really motivated me beyond seeing that it existed. So
I get you. Real quick, next one we've got Horror Express, and the reason this one's on Blu-ray, and I included this one because it's got Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing, and Telly Savalas.
Oh wow!
Which, how can you go wrong with that triple threat?
Yeah, that's necessary.
Indeed. So there's that. Next up, we've got The Future.
Again, we're hitting a strange here. I know shit about.
I think you and Clarkson, if y'all sat down and watched this movie, I think you would both be dead by the
really?
End. I think you would either killed yourselves or each other.
Oh, God, from looking at the fucking poster.
It's by, just to give you an idea, it's starring and directed by the gal behind Me, You, and Everyone We Know.
Oh.
Which, I don't know if you saw that.
No.
But
so we're good.
Everybody I know who's seen The Future has had very strong reactions to it, either for it or against it, which makes me want to see it. But it's like about a couple that adopt a cat, and
there we go.
And they sort of start to have like kind of a crisis about their age. I don't know. The trailer, I was thinking I could either really enjoy this or I might want to jump out a window.
Right.
But people I trust, whose opinions I respect, have had very strong, either love it or hate it, reactions, which makes me really want to see it, because that means it's at least interesting.
Yeah, I just, for some, it's one that looks like it's some people who are taking their shit way more important than they should.
Well, that's the thing is, man, I've read some reviews that were like, that, you know, that just find Miranda July's brand of filmmaking just so precious.
Yeah.
And it looks very precious.
Right.
And that's why I was like, man, you and Clarkson would not enjoy this.
Oh, if precious can accurately be used to describe it, I'm good without it.
So next up we have, in Criterion's Eclipse series, it's a box set called Sabu. Sabu, because it's S-A-B-U with an exclamation point at the end.
Exclamation point.
And it's a box set that has three movies, Elephant Boy, The Drum, and Jungle Book.
Okay.
And it's an Indian actor named Sabu.
Okay.
Like, I guess he's like Sting or Bono or something.
All right.
And he was kind of big in the UK. He was in some... movies, and one of them was by the director of Elephant Boys, by Zoltan Korda, who did Four Feathers.
There we go.
So you know, this might be worth checking out. Eclipse/Criterion saw fit to make a box set for him, so it must be worth
worth existing.
Yep. And the last one, saving the best for last, Jim.
Yes.
obviously, we have the Flying Guillotine. Not Master of the Flying Guillotine.
Just Flying Guillotine.
Flying Guillotine. This is the Shaw Brothers movie with Chin Kwan Tai and Jimmy Wang Yu.
Okay.
And it's directed by Ho Ming Hwa. Have you seen this
That
one?
Was a lot of syllables. No, I have not. I have not. It's weird because I'm one of those people, like, when I discovered Heroic Bloodshed, I sort of abandoned Kung Fu with the exception of Jackie Chan.
Okay.
So it's an odd, like, yeah, this is, yeah, those exist.
Well, this one, I'm a big Shaw Brothers fan myself.
Oh, yes, yes,
I eat these movies for breakfast. Yeah, in fact, I got two new ones while I was in Dallas.
Nice.
At the Half Price Books, I got All Men Are Brothers and Heroes Shed No Tears.
Nice.
But this one, Ho Ming Hwa has done, he did The Lady Hermit, which is a very good Shaw Brothers movie with Cheng Pei Pei, who
okay.
you may remember as Jade Fox from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Who could forget him?
You mean her.
Yeah. That, see, my point.
Yeah.
She transcends gender.
And, but you know what, though? She's great. She's great. I loved her in Come Drink With Me. She was fantastic in that.
Okay.
She was fantastic in Golden Swallow, the sequel to that. But she was great in Lady Hermit. But Ho Ming Hwa did that, and he did one called Black Magic, which is sort of this weird Mondo-type movie.
Okay.
But this one... was kind of one of the first Shaw Brothers movies to feature just really, I think it was probably not one of the first, but one of those early examples, I guess, of kung fu movies with crazy weapons, like the Flying Guillotine, which you know, executes people by you throw it at their head and chops it off. It's great.
Yeah.
But so I'm definitely gonna check this one out. Plus, Jimmy Wang Yu is definitely probably one of the biggest dickheads ever in the history of movies. But also a joy to watch, and Chin Kwan Tai is also a great leading man. So,
well, awesome.
I'm definitely gonna look this one up.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, what do you think your pick of the week might be this week, Jim?
fucking hell. So, my pick of the week from a list of movies I've not seen any of.
Oh, you haven't seen any of these?
No, I haven't.
No, that's right. You haven't.
Tucker and Dale.
Tucker and Dale. That there you go. Mine's
No, Hunter. Tucker and Dale? It wasn't a definite statement. That was a question, dude.
Yeah.
Tucker and Dale?
Sure.
That.
Yeah. I'm going with Cave of Forgotten Dreams because, you know, it gets a big, heavy endorsement from me. But, you know, if you can't do the 3D at home, then just go with 30 minutes or less, I guess.
All right.
But, yeah, and as far as but if you want something kind of cool and something Quentin Tarantino would recommend, Flying Guillotine.
Well, there you go. Can't lose there.
Yeah. So, anyways, well, that was a quick one.
That was a but I mean,
compared
dudes,
to last week, oh god.
Yeah, compared to last week, but also compared to the movies that were available, this episode was very long.
Yeah. Next week, I think we have a little bit. It's a little bit beefier.
Oh, sexy.
We're getting towards the holidays, so.
Right on. It's about to get real.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool.
She just got real. Well, all right. That wraps it up for this week.
Yeah,
so, buddy.
Well, check out the Film Thugs. This Sunday I'm going to have myself and Blaine Weaver talking indie film, and we're going to be going through shit like, you know, how to go from a script to having fucking money to make it.
There you go.
And things like that. So it should be interesting as hell.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So
check that show. Yeah.
Keep an eye out for it at thefilmthugs.com. Which,
indeed.
You know what? If you're listening to this from, you know, the other sites where this my column is syndicated to, you're there already. So.
Yeah, exactly. So there it is. Hang out and check some shit.
Yeah, buddies.
All right.
That's it for me. I'm Hunter.
I'm Jim. I'm feeling like a ghost. I'm falling.